Hello, welcome to the Good Ship Illustration Podcast. We're here to offer no-nonsense advice to illustrators and image makers navigating a creative career. In the Good Ship, there are three of us, I'm Katie Chappell, and there's Helen Stevens and Tanya Willis too. We are celebrating our flagship course, Find Your Creative Voice, Fly Your Freak Flag, being open this week. So we've got lots of episodes all about finding your creative voice. Welcome back. We've got another question about finding your creative voice. This one says, I've done a lot of observational drawing over the years now. I'm learning and growing. I can see my drawings improve. Whenever I start drawing from imagination, though, it's still so hard, and I so dislike how they look. It's almost as if, when drawing from imagination, I can only draw the way I did when I was a child, and I don't feel freedom to change how I draw. Is this weird or common? And how do people tackle this? Is it just a matter of doing it more, or do you have any tips on how to approach it?
Oh, I love this question. It's not weird. It is common. Like, when we first launched the Freak Flag course, this was a question we got asked more than anything else. We ended up making a whole module about it. It's really good to hear that you're doing lots of observational drawing, though. You're doing it the right way around.
Absolutely
the right way around, because that observational drawing is really going to feed your illustration work. It's going to make your illustration work much, much stronger. So you're doing it the right way around.
I think it's you've got to try and take photographs in your head, haven't you? To draw from imagination, it depends what you define as imagination, because you'll have nothing to work on if you don't give yourself a little bit of help. You need some visual reference to go to the imagination section. Maybe you should try taking your observational drawings and then going home and redrawing them when you're not actually there. I mean, that's one way of training your brain up. Another one is, if you need something like a bicycle in your drawing, have a quick look at a bicycle, make it really small on the computer screen or outside in the world. Imagine you're taking a photo of it, then go back in and draw it. I mean, they'll be a bit cronky to begin with, but that's just how it is, isn't it?
Sort of charming as well.
Yeah, they do have their own charm, don't they? No one likes a perfectly drawn horse or bicycle.
I think the problem is when you're drawing from life, it's like you're against the clock. In some way, you're in against the clock, because if you say you're drawing a bicycle, somebody could get on the bike and ride off any minute.
Yeah.
Or you might be in other people's way. There's always a sense of urgency when you're drawing from life. And so those drawings will be full of energy. And then when you decide, this is our, those dreaded words, final illustration, then it's like, oh, I have to make the bicycle really good now. And that's the death of that bicycle drawing. So you need to sort of keep your playful hat on to be able to do that.
And now I said photographs, and it's one of our golden rules, isn't it? Don't draw from photographs. But all we mean is have a quick look.
Have a quick look and then look away and then draw it, maybe even draw it with the wrong hand. Like, just do something that makes it feel easy and playful. A quick look, look away, see what you remembered. Draw it again. Choose the best out of five very fast drawings.
Or squint at things, or look at things from a very long distance so all the detail is cut out and you just get an overall impression. That's really good for drawing people, if you overcoming the fear of drawing figures. Give yourself as little information as possible. So, yeah, long distance and squinty eyes always works.
You almost get like muscle memory, don't you? Like, you know, sometimes I really struggle to draw something, and then I'll draw it from observation, and then when I go to draw it on a job when I don't have that observation in my brain, I can kind of remember what it looks like, but my hand remembers how to do it.
Really?
Like perspective and stuff. Like, I can't think of an example. Like sometimes I'll see a really nice roof, and in my brain I'll be like, ooh, imagine drawing the roof. Like when I used to play guitar, I'd be like sitting there like, I'm practicing guitar, but I wasn't doing it, I was just in my head. Like,
oh, I do that as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I see something really lovely that I would like to draw, but I don't have my sketchbook or my pencil, I draw it in my head, the lines are in my head, I'm imagining how I would draw it.
I'm thinking specifically of like rooftops in Amsterdam. That's a really nice rooftop, but like no sketchbook.
I'm thinking of when Pi was small, when she was little, and the gorgeous shapes of toddlers' heads, you know, the lovely, the back of their head and the shape of their cheeks and everything. And I'd be staring at her thinking, I should be drawing this, and I haven't got a pencil. I'm just going to draw it in my head. And I would imagine how the pencil would move.
I think it still counts.
Yeah, I think it does. It's practice in a way.
So it's really memory, isn't it? It's trying to improve your photographic memory. It's like exercises in the gym. Just sort of keep training up. Try and remember things.
When I was early days in my illustration, I'm always talking about this, but in that time where I was first working as an illustrator, and I was taking so much advice that I actually wasn't really liking my work anymore. And so I took some time out, and I remembered that the time I was happiest was when I was drawing in sketchbooks, and I went and started doing that again. And then I thought there must be a bridge between this sketchbook work and illustration work for a book. And I don't like the illustration work I've done before, but I've learned so much doing that. I've learned what makes a lovable character, what kind of faces and eyes I like to use, how I like to draw hands. But I don't really like how I'm doing it. Like I was... It was just getting flatter and brighter and flatter and brighter because that's what I was being asked to do. So I had to work out like a bridge between the observational drawing and the illustration so that the illustration still felt as free as the sketchbook work. So I took some time out and worked out a bridge between the two. And then in the course, we have a whole module about it, don't we? Bridging the gap, it's called.
Because it is a really common thing. Mm. And also like tricking yourself into doing final artwork without saying those words.
Oh, those words.
Yeah.
The death knell.
Mm. You've got lots of tips, and lots of our contributors in the course give their own takes on that as well. Mm. The different techniques they use to create so-called
Jill Calder made us a film in the course, and that's full of good advice for that, isn't it?
Yeah, and Marion Duchars doing lots of them, piecing them together, all those kind of things, and you can see how it works for them. People just develop their own ways.
Yeah, you get your own workarounds. And that's a fascinating thing about talking to other illustrators, is seeing how they've cobbled together their own way of working. Yeah. And even ways of starting working. Like I remember our friend Jules Patton talking about like she would listen to really, really loud music, sort of distract herself enough to start working. I'm like, that's genius. And it works. Like if you just blast music really loudly, you can't think like, oh, I'm really scared.
Jump in a cold river, then you come straight out and draw.
Slap yourself.
It's the adult version of the drunken artist, isn't it? You know? Because get yourself out of the way.
Absent.
It is kind of removing yourself from it. I think that's why observational drawing is so much easier, because you're kind of... You're out in the wild and you're up against it. The weather might change. People might walk away. You kind of forget yourself. You're just like, I am here to draw. I've just got to get it down on the paper, and you don't worry too much. And when, as an illustrator, I find I need to also get myself out of the way, like send the critical eye, the one that wants to finish everything too much, send her out so that the other bit can get on with the playful stuff.
That's in that question as well, isn't she? She's talking about hating what she does and seeing that you do kind of need to get your bad voices out of your head.
You need to play the really loud music to drown out the bad voices. Then you can carry on making some work.
Yeah, be kinder to yourself and find the play in it as well.
I was going to say there's two modes, isn't there? There's like making stuff mode and critiquing it mode, and you're almost a completely mute critiquing mode while you're making it.
Yeah. And that's a habit. That's something that you can learn, and that becomes a habit. So the way you work is always like that. You switch into that brain mode. In every interview that we've done with everybody for the courses, and we've interviewed loads of our favourite illustrators, almost all of those chats start with the person saying, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what other illustrators do, so I don't know if I'm doing it right, which is so good to hear, because it means we all kind of learn these things in our own way. We cobble together a method and it works for us. And you assume everybody else has an answer, but actually everybody else has just cobbled together a way of their own as well.
And comfortingly, their ways are often the same. You know, we're all in the same ballpark at the end of the day. Some people have loud music, like little details that make it different. But the way people do things and come up with the best answer is the way we all kind of do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're doing lots of it, that makes it work.
Mm.
Working out your mistakes as you go along.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you got that nice testimonial?
Testimonial, yes. Mm. So I'd 100% recommend this course. It has helped so much with creative block. I'm really enjoying trying new things again and not worrying about messing it up.
Hooray!
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? You've got enough drawings to not care whether some of them don't work. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, just churn them out. Yeah. It's going to be a good one in there somewhere.
What is it? You said once, I don't know if it's on your website. Yeah, get the bad drawings out of the way. Yeah.
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 Have a goal to do so many bad drawings.
Yeah.
It's like the no thank yous, isn't it? Like you've got to plough through the negative stuff, and guaranteed you will get some winners out of it.
Yeah. Like, do you think it's possible to draw every single day and not get better at drawing? It's probably not possible.
That is not possible.
No, it can't be possible.
So like just draw every day. Mm. Done.
No one has to see them all.
Next problem.
Okay, so course doors are open. They close on Friday at Art Club. And for anybody who doesn't know, we don't run art club every week. We do special pop-up ones. And if you don't want to miss art club, then join our mailing list and you'll always get a heads up.
Yes, exactly. Lovely to see you there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.